in the Torah, only two things were enjoined for Rosh Hashanah. One was the blowing of the trumpets, and the other was a particular festive sacrifices. But it's interesting that of all of the festive sacrifices, there was no sin offering made on the morning on the Rosh Hashanah. And that's puzzled people for years. Why would this be true? Why would there be no sin offering on Rosh Hashanah? Well, it's just another part of the mystery that the sin offering was born on Rosh Hashanah. Now, for there not to be a sin offering was a momentous thing in the temple structure. So, it's worth considering. It's another, to me, this was probably the singular. It was easy to find out Pentecost, because Acts says that Pentecost was fulfilled. That's the first feast that I saw was fulfilled. And of course, with any casual reading will see that the next feast that was fulfilled was Passover. But the more I studied, the more I became fascinated with the feasts, because they were the only set times of the Lord, and they were very specific as to set times. In fact, the word feast in Hebrew means set times. And the other fascinating part about Rosh Hashanah was that it happened at the new moon, at the darkest, in the beginning of the year, the year that, you know, it just didn't make any sense. And the reading of the law on Rosh Hashanah. Why? Because the law was born on Rosh Hashanah. So anyway, as I looked at all of these, and of course the next big one was Yom Kippur. When I saw that the word for goat, I mean, there's no distinction in the Greek for goat and lamb. And so when John the Baptist said, "Behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world," and I studied and saw that the only other time that phraseology was used was for the scapegoat that taketh away the sin of Israel. Now, the scapegoat, the offering, taketh away the sin of not just Israel, but the world. And so all these things, in terms of the finishness, they didn't, you know, I knew it was finished for me when it pleased God to reveal His Son in me, but I didn't realize that it was finished. That took some months of study to see this. And you can't imagine how exciting it was to discover what was happening in the temple when Christ was born. What was happening in the temple when Christ was being crucified? What was happening when He was turning the water into wine? What was happening when He was transfigured? And it all of a sudden, it was, I think as John wrote in one time, it was like the pieces of a giant Rubik's Cube or jigsaw puzzle. This came into perfect fit, and everything fit, as long as I kept me out of it. The moment I put me into it, then nothing fit. And that just fully cemented the certainty of Christ in me, the hope of glory, because it pleased God to reveal His Son in me. And then I went back, you know, and studied the whole thing of creation and the He made God, the man, he was made in the image in the image and likeness. Well, all of a sudden it was there again. The image is the glove or the container for the likeness. So everything was perfect. Everything fit. Everything. Well, then my God, why isn't this ever taught? And I searched and searched. I went to church after church and read books, book after book, commentary after commentary. And every one of them said something about how I can gain something from God. I knew that couldn't, that's not right. And I saw the gospel, the word, good news, is what the word gospel means. But it's never the gospel of man. It's the good news to God. It's not good news to man. And I saw how the tests were always the same from Genesis all the way through to all of Israel to all of the New Testament. And it just blew me away. And I kept hearing how to be. And I just got. So anyway, I started teaching this in 1974. That's after I decided to join the Highland Park United Methodist Church, because it was a church that had probably more charismatics in it than most charismatic churches, and it had everything. It had everything from the social liberal gospel to, this must be home, because I knew that from what I had seen and what I had read, that the only necessity is this coming to the end of yourself. And I knew that all men did that jillions of times. And I saw those scriptures, but you are wearied in the greatness of your way, yet you sayest not. But you are not grieved, for you sayest you found the hope of your own hand. Or walk in the light of the sparks that you have kindled, and this shall you have of my hand, you shall lie down in sorrow. And I saw that repeated over and over and over throughout the scriptures. And then I saw Paul saying that everything that happened in the Old Testament happened for our benefit, that we might see. But maybe the biggest thing that I saw, I don't think I've ever talked about. And that is that when the first always represents the whole. So that from when God's standpoint, when the first fruit is offered, or the first lump is, whatever the first is, that it means the whole has happened. It's just a matter of seeing it. And I can't even put into words how important that was, because then I knew and I saw that I had been chosen in Him from before the foundation of the world, and that it was really, it really, really, really was finished. And every time that I tried to work it, every time I tried to think about it, every time I tried to understand it, or always, without exception, as I was going through, I'd see there were jillions of things that didn't make sense on the surface in reading the scriptures. And it looked like contradictions. And in fact, I said, all right, if I can find one contradiction in the scriptures, I'm going to throw the whole damn thing away, because I don't like it anyway. And there wasn't any. Because every time there was an apparent contradiction, it was hiding an incredible mystery, a doubling. And so I want you to understand that it's judgment day has occurred. And you didn't pass. And I want you each to see that the finger of God is writing on the walls of your temple. Mene, mene, tekel upharsin. You have been weighed in the balance, but found eternally lacking. You can't make it. You don't have what it takes. And therefore, the best you can be is a broken vessel. But the minute you pay the slightest bit of attention to what your senses perceive, all is lost. And you better pray that time continues until you come to the totality of the end of that. I'm just rambling here, but I hope I'm rambling so that you get some closure. And your baptism, you didn't get baptized if you don't know that that was your burial. You just got wet. You just went swimming. Now, if you today give the slightest breath to you or to your agenda, then you better pray that God's long-suffering continues, because your garment is spotted by the flesh. Anybody have any response to any of that?
I remember that time we talked about, you were saying that Christ has completed the way, just kind of comes from this, he's the first fruit, so it's the whole is included in everything. So his completion of the way means it's finished. I don't have to find the way or walk the way or anything. It's come from him.
Gary, what's going on? I can feel the gears moving.
Can you say hello to Gary? The main thing that I'm impressed with is this. It's like the last vestiges of self are being obliterated. Every aspect of where I would like to participate in God's work, I'm just being repentant of when I see them. The little things.
But you have to see that they're not being obliterated. They already have been obliterated. And it's only His mercy that is giving you enough time to stop the rebellion. Because if you use even our language, that's why English is the worst language that's ever been invented to understand spiritual things, because it's too many verb tenses. So we can say, I can say, it is over, it is finished. And you can hear, it is being obliterated. And you can even mean that you say, it has been obliterated. But by the trick of the mind, you respond with something that requires time. That's the deception. There is no more shadow, no more turning, no more. The gospel has been preached to every creature under heaven. He's already come in the same manner as He was seen to go. There's nothing left to happen. And only, and hear me carefully, only when you see that can repentance be true. Otherwise, the repentance will be of the mind, it'll automatically give you time. I've got to make you understand with everything in you that the next breath, it's over. Now, anything that requires time, you're playing Chinese baseball. You're playing the wrong game by the wrong rules. Now, if you don't see this by these hurricanes, Katrina, it's, you know, what creates these humongous storms is extremely low atmospheric pressure, and it's the low. And you've heard me talk about this 100 times. The low pressure zone causes, and it's I think I, Katrina had like, it was like the third or fourth lowest barometric pressure reading that's ever been had in the United States. The lowest one that ever was a typhoon in the South Seas. But it creates this incredible thing that happens with regard to the spinning of the earth, so that the spinning of the earth itself and the low pressure zone, and the lower the pressure, the stronger the winds. And I want you to understand that low pressure, spiritual low pressure zone, is how that handful of disciples turned the world upside down. And it's still the same today. One of the first things I ever wrote was, one man fully yielded to the Spirit of God is the most powerful force in the universe. Fully empty. Now, a body fully empty is it's incomprehensible. That's what I want you to see from Rosh Hashanah. Because the thing that gives the type of the atmospheric pressure that gives, it's what allows life to continue. It's what allows the groundwater under the to stay in the ocean, and it's what allows society to continue. There has to be an atmospheric pressure. And what is that atmospheric pressure? It's you and I. It's ourselves spiritually. It's having you in the equation in any way. Am I communicating at all? That's one example. The other one that is so close to me, so to speak, is the idea of a nuclear or thermonuclear or atomic bomb, in that it takes like a millionth of a nanosecond of time out of the equation. The heavens being on fire shall melt with fervent heat. The mountains shall melt or be dissolved. Vaporized is better. It's as though they never existed, and boom! I saw an island disappear as though it never existed. Now what happens when the seventh angel stands and says, time shall be no longer? The entire universe will disappear at the speed of thought. Now, the perfect type of a low pressure zone is one of these black holes. There's hundreds. They've found there's the number of black holes in the universe are incalculable. Everything is sucked into it. And that's the heavens rolling up as a scroll that Isaiah saw. But you don't have today left. You don't have your next breath left. That's the way you have to think and live. That's the way the disciples, that's what the disciples saw. Every single one of the disciples was martyred. And they were all alone when it happened, according to the stories. And it could have easily said, this is going to be really good for your country, or for the king. This is going to be really good for you, the king, or this is going to be really good for you as a businessman, or this is going to be really good for you as a family man. They could have said anything that would have enhanced whoever they were talking to's future, and they would have been spared. a million times in the last 30 years, I could have changed it just slightly and said, God wants you to have a happy marriage. Or, you're right. God doesn't. I know you can't believe in a God that is causing this much pain to you, but just wait. He's going to fix you. I could have said, there's a thousand, million things that I could have said. And I'd have had a lot of friends and been popular. And you wouldn't have gotten mad at me so often. But you've got to see the end has already happened. You have no time left. That's the meaning of Rosh Hashanah. Anybody have any response to any of this? You're shaking your head, yes, but you're internalizing. Wait a minute.
Well, really what I'm thinking is, I believe I see that. But every time I say something to you, you always think I'm talking in terms of time.
I know, because you use the word being obliterated.
Well, how about when I see something, it's like coming into agreement with it.
It's too late. Nobody cares whether you're in agreement or not.
Well, that's what gives us repentance, without seeing it.
No, the only thing that gives us repentance is a fear of God. You don't have repentance by agreeing with me.
No, I'm not talking about you.
I understand, Gary, and it may be just the language. That's what I'm saying. That's why I said what I said. It may be just the language and how people talk, but I'm telling you, you cannot have time for being obliterated in your thought process or in any process. You have to say and agree, yes, they are obliterated.
But there's some point where that's recognized. And
but it can't require time, because that and being requires time.
I don't see where it requires time. We are in time, whether you like it or not. And the angel, has he stood up and already said time will be no more?
Yes.
And then where are we now?
The grace of God is giving you.
By the grace of God, we are in this place where he hasn't destroyed everything.
You remember what I told you about the four winds that are being held? Remember when we talked about that? It says, but hurt not. Anything. This is an issue that any kind of theology, and a theology is how you think about God stuff. Any kind of theology that gives breath to time, or to the requirement of time, or to the I am getting there, or I am becoming, or I am seeing, or it's pure witchcraft. Does that communicate at all? It's a biggie. We studied this when we studied Revelation 7. There can't be time left for seeing. because our minds are hardwired to then give us time. Every one of the apostles believed that the end would come with their next breath, and they conducted their lives as such. Because Christ, in his first statement, said the kingdom of God is here. It's not going to be here. It is here. It's Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. Therefore, there isn't time for anything else. And I promise you, if you give this time, then you're evil one will hardwire it. I mean, it will take advantage of the fact that it's hardwired, and then you will have time to have truces, or you will have time to take care of stuff, or time to understand, or time to anything. That's the way that we this is an issue, not just you and I, everybody goes through it. From the first day I became a believer, this is where the one thing that I have insisted on, that those who listen to me hear. All that time does, it gives you time to continue being the whore. Now, right now, they've just gone, you know, you got to see that Rahab has already let down. You know, I mean, it's. This isn't quibbling about the meaning of a word. This is far more serious.
I find that what you just said, I believe I understood, and it got to where let your yea be yea and your nay be nay, and anything more than that, it's you're in your hand to...
You're lukewarm.
Blah, blah, blah.
You're just in lukewarm then.
Yeah. But, and I could, while you were saying things, I could have come up with more supercilious arguments, so to speak, to continue the thought, but I couldn't speak for the moment, and I think during that not speaking, I understood what you're saying.
It will define how you conduct your life. Because if there isn't this 100% dependency, that's not something you can do, it's only something you can see. You can act like you're not dependent. It's like, remember I've told you so often about the thing that just made me crazy when I was a kid was, we wrote about him in The Last Word, but this guy, he came to school always, and he was like, this was like first and second, third grade, something like that. He always came, he had a shirt and had a little tie on, and he always had his hair perfectly combed. And he just told lies. You know, every time something happened in the war, because that's what all the news was about then my dad is over there. He had to become the center of the universe, and his life was based on lies. He was trying to act like an adult, and that was the lie. Now, that's why it's so critical that you, that no one here, me included, act like you know something. Because you're, you know, it's this thing I've said so often, what you are speaks so loudly I can't hear what you say you are. How you conduct your life will define what you believe. Well, better stated, what you love, what you give breath to, will define what you believe. And it's so easy to see. doesn't take a spiritual genius.
You know, you're talking about Rahab and that point where she was confronted by the spies who came in. She had to either say, yeah, come on in, or no. I mean, she didn't have time to sit down and have them expound the the doctrines of the Torah to her to convince her that, you know, this was a good thing. It was just, it all happens in the moment, in your heart. Just something happens, you know. And boom, she took him in, hit him, and she had already, she committed, treason at that moment, for all these reasons we've talked about. But it's like that, there wasn't time. And every moment is like that for us.
We have to commit every moment.
Be committing treason against our, society or loyalty and faithfulness to the true God, It's always just boom like that.
This, we'll study some more about the sounding of the trumpet, because what happens at the sound of the trumpet isn't a small thing. And that's why the Psalms are read that talk about happy or blessed is he that hears this, or knows or hears and understands the sound of the trumpet. Because it is the death knell of everything else. There's nothing else. There's no responsibilities. There's no real family. There's no... It's over. And it'll turn your life upside down. And you will be crucified unto the world, and the world will be crucified unto you. In an instant. And again... This is why Rosh Hashanah, it's not related to anything. It's certainly not related from, it's like the Jews starting their day at sunset. I mean, Rosh Hashanah isn't related to anything. And it doesn't have any very little outward kind of manifestation, because there never will be an outward manifestation of it. Yet it's Judgment Day. Anybody else have any response? John? You agree?
Sure, I agree. I see you struggling for the words to that impact us somehow. And I think we're not capable of doing that, because it isn't really the words that are going to be perceived and being able to be enactable.
No, it'll be how you conduct your life. But your words, trust me on this one, your words, how you perceive this, will define how you will conduct yourself in 5 minutes.
Oh, I totally agree with that. But it's an awareness kind of thing. I used that word before, I don't know if that's the right word. But the minute we, the nanosecond, as you said, that we do more than consider it, We're
we're trying to mix it with flesh, and it can't be done. But out of the fullness of the heart, the mouth speaks. If your heart is still full of you trying to get it right, I promise you, what you will speak from a spirit standpoint is evil. If you've emptied yourself so completely that you're not even in the picture. You remember, that's what this thing... I keep coming back to this thing with Ezekiel. He had been a priest, a very important one, for 21 years. And God made him go lie on his side, with baked cakes mixed with his barley cakes mixed with his own dung. And I pray that he didn't ask me to do that, but so that Jerusalem would see what they're doing.
I may be really slow, but I just realized that's why people say to you that if they thought like you thought, they'd sit in the corner and not do anything.
They don't believe in God.
Their own lives condemn them. They hear what you're saying, they realize that there's nothing good in them,
And they don't think there's anything else in this. That's why they think you sit in the corner.
Because it's still faith in something external. It's instead of living the faith of. To live the faith of, you can't have an agenda. You can't know what's going to happen next. You can't care what's going to happen next. And boy, is this being tested in me. Because I really care, if I paid any attention, whether or not this crap will stop. But I really don't care.
If you give up all that secret sin, it would, right?
Or I could quit giving offerings to fools. I mean, that may be part of it also, of the very the Talmud. Oh, God, I'm just so worn out. I'm... Take it, big guy.